Welcome back, my friends, to Power Our Nation. We have a long-awaited guest here to tell us a lot about the economy, the world, and the things we're going to face in it very, very quickly as it is starting to unwind and unravel in ways that we probably would not prefer. Other countries have already gone down some of these trails before, and some of it's completely new ground, very unsteady, very shaky. And we have to have confidence in that we're making good decisions about our planning. And as I was talking to our guest, Stephen Lieb, on the break, and sometimes I wish we had recorded breaks because sometimes we get into good things that, you know, going, hey, wow, I don't even know if we do that good a job when we get on air. But the big thing is we have to be a team. I've always been a coach of, you know, teams for young people and things like that. And we have to work together to win or even just to have fun because I coach some of the best losing teams. But that's the whole key to it. And whatever our differences are really don't matter because generally there's one most correct answer. And when we strip away the veneer and we can just, with desire, look for it, seek it, find it, we will find it. And then our differences won't matter much anymore because we'll have found the appropriate solution. And it saves all of us together. And that's the way it should be. Welcome aboard, Stephen. We're glad to have
Thank you very much, George, and I just want to second everything that you said. I could not agree more.
Oh, indeed. I've had some jobs that are more on the rough end, you know, in the hold-up business and things like that. It really doesn't matter what differences are. The big difference is you're standing beside me. We're in this together, and we got to get out of it together. And what you are, what I am, or what we think we are or am really doesn't matter anymore. It's we survive. And we go home and tell our grandchildren later. And, you know, that's where you really embrace all sorts of diversity and differences. Everybody brings something to the table.
Well, this is true, and it's always been true in America. And, you know, it's, you know, going back to the 1950s, I mean, yeah, you know, there was a lot of diversity in America, and you know, there was a lot of racism, and you know, it's I guess just part of, you know, human DNA that, you know, people that are different, you know, we have to get accustomed to them, and you know, we did a pretty good job in the 50s, you know, people were people, and you know, education was, I think, more pervasive and more, you know, more easily obtained. And, you know, we just took a wrong, somewhere along the line, I believe it was in the very early 70s, we just went sideways. We just took the wrong path. And we've been trying to find our way back since. And I think we've reached a point right now where it's really, I don't want to say do or die, but it's let's do it. Let's find the way back. And this country can do it. It was the greatest country that, you know, the world has ever seen for, I don't know, at least 20 or 30 years after the Second World War, even through the Depression, all these inventions that we, you know, created, et cetera. And I just think we became a little bit consumed with the wrong kinds of things. And we've just got to get back on the right path. And, yeah, there are going to be differences, always differences. My wife and I don't agree on the same stuff. But we've been together for a long time. And, you know, I expect that, you know, we'll just stay there. And it's okay to differ. It's just not okay to fight so fiercely over those differences. That's what, you know, worries me.
Well, one thing I've learned over the years when we get into conflicts like that is generally, to a great extent, we're all wrong about something. And we fight about these differences. And later we find out we were in error on a point. So like the French say, vive la différence. And it's The big thing
I couldn't agree more, because that, you know, resolving differences is one of the best ways of basically getting things together. I mean, yes, it's fine to have differences, but you've got to, you know, resolve them and figure out what the best way to go is. You just can't focus only on the differences. Focus on the similarities. I mean, we're all people. I mean, we all come into the world the same way. We go out the same way. And, you know, it's, you know, there's this commonality, and Americans have always been able to, you know, get over their differences and thrive. It just has reached a kind of extreme today. So I'm hopeful that we can get over them, but we've got to realize that, you know, there are compromises that have to be made. There are, you know, people or countries, we don't like their governments, but we still have to, you know, do business with them and cooperate with them. You know, China's an example. I mean, China's not a government that I like at all. I wouldn't be a Chinese citizen. My son happens to be married to a Chinese woman, and she won't go back to China, and I fully well understand it. But on the other hand, as a government working in a world that's, you know, relatively small, I mean, we've got to figure out some way of cooperating. I don't mean, you know, joining. I don't mean taking over or letting anyone take over us. I mean, but you know, the problems we face today are the problems that the entire world is facing. And we've got to own up to that and realize that and focus on that. And once America, at least in our past, has focused on things together, we've always come out on top, and we've always, you know, come out successful. I think we can do it again.
Well, one of the keys to, you know, getting into a better mindset is it's the end run of any therapy program. It's the whole basis of Christianity is forgiveness. And we can live a miserable day over forever and live in hell, or we can put the past behind us, forgive each other, embrace each other, and come up with another way. And when we do that, the past isn't buried, it's just laid to rest.
Yeah, no, I could not agree more. I mean, it is really a question of it's sort of coming back to Christian values. I mean, it's that simple. It really is. And if we could do that, that would be very, very good. And by Christian values, I don't mean, you know, not everyone has to go to the same church. But, you know, this idea of forgiveness and treating people with respect and dignity, I mean, this is all it is. It's simple to say. You know, and we just have to have an environment where that kind of thing is possible again. I mean, that's how I grew up. I didn't grow up as a, you know, well, kind of half Christian. I'm kind of a mutt as far as, you know, ethnicities go, but part Catholic, part this and that and everything else. But, you know, it's there's a commonality in most religions, and it's, you know, it is forgiveness. It's not fighting over differences, but accepting differences and accepting we're all people and accepting we can all be very good people. So, I mean, yeah, I think we totally agree on that.
Oh, indeed, indeed. I'm Polish, German, Protestant, Catholic. You can't find two or firebrand things like that as time went by. So that's why I see things from a broader perspective is, you know, I didn't see these differences in my life and in my family. You know, we were just put together, we mix, and I could never understand why other people made a big difference about that you're this or you're that or you're this or you're that. And I just go, well, that's not a good way to live. And it was just clearly obvious. And, you know, as an expert in, you know, the financial realm, you know, I think we're very blessed to have you here with us to teach us you know, some of your great wit and wisdom on the issues that are going to be coming down the pipes very, very quickly for us. And, you know, one of the big ones that you talk about is something that's just been a staple on this radio station forever, too, as I call it the lifeboat for financial issues, gold, is, you know, what do you think about gold and how it's going to perform over other investments over the years? Maybe even explain it to, because there's probably a whole generation of people that don't even know what gold is. You know, I call it like quantum money. It's money and it's a commodity at the same time, and it can just flip one to the other, one to the other, you know, almost as fast as a nanosecond, depending on what's coming along. But I remember hearing about a bank vice president that never saw a gold coin, never held one in his hand. And I went, wow! And his bank actually minted them, too. And, you know, so I found that shocking, and that you're running the financial system, and you don't even know what it is.
Yeah, well, that's sort of one of the big problems in America right now is that the, you know, what you're saying about the financial system is true. I mean, we've become so, you know, so obsessed with getting things right in the moment. You know, we've kind of lost our long-term perspective. When I was growing up, I was sort of, you know, raised to believe that you kind of save for now and you know, for later. You didn't try and get everything all at once, and you tried to do things together too. But you know, gold does have a very, very important place, I think, in our world and in our financial system. And I think it will play a much, much more important role as we go forward. You know, it has a lot of very unique properties. And I'm not taking anything away from, you know, some of these cryptocurrencies. But I just don't see them as having a permanent place in the world today. I can see digital money having a place. But what we lack right now, I mean, more than anything in America, we lack discipline. And you know, when we went off the gold standard, George, we were on a gold standard from the end of the Second World War until about 1971. And that sort of was a discipline. I mean, it permitted us to spend only a certain amount of money because money was backed up by gold. And that kept us, you know, really on a very, very good track. It kind of forced us to cooperate with one another and to do things together and to do things for the longer term so that, you know, we could do them better, you know, in 2 or 3 years than we could do them now. And we could grow like that by learning how to do things better and in you know, more efficient ways. But, you know, we've sort of lost that when we went off the gold standard. Now we're in a, you know, in a way, a very good position in that we can spend as much money as we want. No one can tell us anything. And I certainly don't mind that. But you've got to combine that with the discipline. And we've lost that discipline, to be very honest with you. And basically now what's changed is that it's not just America as it was after the Second World War. There are also, you know, two other major powers in this world, or, you know, groupings in this world. One is the Europeans and the other is China. And you know, we're all in this together. I mean, when we talk about making this transition to fossil fuel, to renewable energies like gold, like wind, like solar, and things that, you know, are going to be around for as long as we are, rather than let's say oil and natural gas and things that are not going to be around, things that we're eventually going to use up, even ignoring the effects that they may have on the climate. I mean, just the fact that they're not going to be there forever. They're in the ground. They're sort of like a savings account. You spend it, and eventually it goes away unless you create income. And the income is, you know, comes from the sun. I mean, that's energy that we have here and now. And we could take advantage of it if we do the right kinds of things. And I think you need a lot of discipline in order to do it. I mean, you're seeing right now, as we talk, I mean, it's hard to imagine, but, you know, there are genuine shortages in this country in the wake of this terrible pandemic. I mean, food prices are going through the roof. Lumber, I'm looking at my my stock screen right now. I see lumber trading at four times what it used to be. I mean, houses are at, you know, near record highs, and people can't afford them. I mean, we've got to figure out a way of you know, coordinating things a lot better, and a way of making sure that, you know, what we have, you know, goes around and allows us to make this transition. I mean, you just can't go from oil and natural gas as your basic energy sources to the sun and the wind as an energy source without using, you know, you need oil to get away from oil. You need gas, natural gas, excuse me, to get away from natural gas. I mean, you have to build out, you know, infrastructure. You have to make electric vehicles. You have to do a lot of things that will make this country, you know, and the world, not just this country, and the world last for the next, you know, century and more. I mean, this century could be a great century for America if we do the right things now. This century, the next century, I mean, you know, we could be setting the stage. I think for some reason, and I don't know why, we've been, you know, given this hand to play, and it's up to us to make things work right now. And you know, I think sort of getting it, but we're not quite there yet. And I think again that gold has a, you know, a very, very important place to play. It's very important in this whole transformation that we have to make, because we have to get back that discipline. And I'm not just talking us. I'm talking the Europeans. I'm talking the Chinese. I'm talking the world as a whole. We have to realize that we can only do so much at one point in time. And we have to realize we can't throw everything out that we would like to throw out. We have to, you know, basically have a little bit more patience. And it just doesn't seem, you know, it seems that we're doing things that are, you know, a little bit questionable, to be honest with you right now. And hopefully we'll, you know, find our way out. I mean, I'm optimistic. I was born that way. And I, you know, it doesn't do any good not to be optimistic, you know, and I am optimistic. I think we can do things, but we've got to convince people that it's more important to be together and have a life for our, you know, children and grandchildren than it is to fight. No one's going to win a fight. I mean, I don't know any fights where, you know, people win and people lose. You know, they win or lose, and then, you know, eventually they end up losing if that's how they spend their lives. So I think it really matters that we, you know, focus on, you know, getting together and you know, finding the right path and stop fighting over, you know, everybody can have their opinion about what's right or wrong. And, you know, we're free to do a lot of different things and, you know, back up from all the hatred and criticism that you see emerging. There's just no right or wrong answers. I think the right answer is doing things together and having the right discipline and having, you know, a real good, strong focus on things.
Oh, indeed, indeed. And I'm old enough to remember when, you know, we had precious metals in our coins. And, you know, my grandfather told me that was, you know, a big warning sign that, you know, especially with his background coming from Europe, that when they take those precious metals out of your coins, that's a sign of impending doom or danger. And, you know, even here in the modern era where they replace the silver with zinc or nickel and copper, they've taken that out and pretty much everything's just rusty steel with, you know, nice pictures painted on top of it to make it look nice. But by and large, it's all worthless metal. And so I see those signs that he was talking about coming to fruition, and, you know, wish in some respects when I was a young fellow, instead of putting money in the bank, I just put it all in silver dollars, because each dollar was 6/10 of an ounce of silver. And that would have maintained its value very, very well over time. Just it would be hard to carry it all around.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, and the nice thing about gold is that, you know, there are lots of ways you can invest in gold. It's not just like a stock where you have to have an account and you have to, you know something about the company you're buying. Gold has been around, 5,000 more years. And, you know, the thing is, George, for whatever reason, it's always been prized, you know, as an asset, as a way of, as a currency and as a commodity, but much more as a currency. I mean, that's what distinguishes gold from many, many other commodities, is that, you know, because it's not really needed in industry. I mean, yes, it's used, but basically every use of gold can be substituted by other commodities out there. So, I mean, virtually all the gold that's ever been mined is still on this planet. And, you know, every year we're mining a little bit more of it. But when you use it as a as a way of saying, well, we have this much gold, so this is how much we can spend. And, you know, you can raise the price of gold. The price of gold can go up, but whatever the price is will determine, you know, that along with how much gold there is, will determine how much you can spend and how fast you can go. And if governments get together, gold becomes an incredibly useful tool for creating discipline. This is what we had, you know, in those 30 years or so after the Second World War. We had, you know, a certain discipline in terms of what we did, and look what we created. In that context, we created the transistor, we created the laser, we created the internet. I mean, these are all American inventions, every single one of them. You know, all the information technology that you see today, the telephones, I mean, you know, and how we communicate. This was all made in America originally.
Okay, we're coming up to a break. We'll join you on the other side with our guest, Stephen Lieb, great author, philosopher, and all-round good guy. Thanks for coming to Power Hour Nation.
Where to start? There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that olive oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
If you eat New Mammoth food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
My friends, to the show that never ends, Power Our Nation. We are blessed today to have Stephen Lieb among us to teach us some of the vagaries of gold, the economy, cooperation, resilience, freedom, and a common strategy to elevate us to a higher sophistication of freedom. Freedom, I believe, is a natural state, and that even in servitude, freedom has to survive and thrive and become just a natural progression out of the dark, cloistered sphere of whatever civilization you may come from, a monarchy, some totalitarian system. It can only be held together by force and threat of force, because if left to its natural circumstances, people would just desire to be free, and we would establish countries like that, societies like that. And that's what it's all about. And hopefully America, a lot of the Western world, can educate some of the less tolerant societies to see that as a shining example, a shining light, for that's the only way out of any darkness we expect to come along. China is a major player in the world, and Stephen was on a roll on the break on a lot of these things. Perhaps he can give us a bit of a recap for you to understand China's role and some of the vagaries that exist in our relations with them.
Well, I think that, you know, China's role is that it's the largest single country in the world right now. In some ways, they have an economy that's larger than ours, depending on how you measure these things. They've been growing very, very quickly, and they can contribute a lot to the world's well-being. And, you know, it's just the fact that because they're so large, we have to consider China is part of the world, just as we consider Europe as part of the world. And these three you know, huge bodies, huge continents, whatever, they have to come together and work together. And you know what? I mean, it's possible to do. I mean, we don't have to pay so much attention to the governments. If we focus more on the people, it makes it a lot easier. I mean, you know, for example, some of our best scientists right now, especially some of our best physics people that study physics and, you know, the stars and how to make things run better. I mean, you know, they're working with Iranians. I mean, and they're doing a good job. I mean, you know, when people come together one-on-one, they work together. And we have done so much work, you know, with the Chinese. I mean, it's not all, you know, anger and fighting and seeing who's on top. If you look at a list of publications, you know, there's this magazine called Nature, which is one of the, you know, it's a British magazine, and it's one of the best science magazines in the world. And actually, I have this latest copy right at my feet. I'm a very disorganized room. And, you know, with things scattered. But they have, you know, one of the, you know, this is a British magazine, and one of the things they have, you know, they're focusing on in this issue is China. And not China as a communist country right now. I don't think that'll last. I think China will eventually become a democracy. I mean, every other Asian country, major Asian country, is a democracy. And China just got a late start, and, you know, it just turned out that the Communist Party was sort of first in line. But that's not going to stay that way. There's no reason to suspect it. I mean, we're, you know, this issue of Nature points out, you know, the extent to which we're already cooperating with China. I mean, we're already doing science with China. And you know, this is, you know, people. I mean, it doesn't mean, you know, that we have to like their government in order to cooperate with them. We are doing it. And, you know, this has an index of all these articles that we do with Chinese people. And it's great. It's fine. It, you know, it's got to make you feel good. And in terms of immigration, I think that you have to realize that it's been a good thing that, you know, we've allowed Chinese immigrants into this country. I mean, there was recently a math contest between China and the U.S., and the U.S. won. But the U.S. won because, I mean, one of the reasons they won is, you know, there were five or more Chinese, ethnic Chinese, that came over to this country and basically, you know, studied with us and became U.S. citizens and are going to stay here. They were a major part of the reason, you know, we won this contest. And they contribute a tremendous amount. And that's the way it should be. And Americans go over to China and they learn Chinese and they learn, you know, the kinds of work that they're doing, and they're willing, you know, the cooperation is already existing, is what I'm saying. It's the politicians that are, you know, sort of interfering with things. If we were, you know, basically left to our own devices, just as people, one-on-one or two-on-two or, you know, laboratories with, you know, everyone from Buddhist to Hindu to African Americans, you know, everybody is, you know, one-on-one, they're fine together. It's when, you know, you get, you know, too much politics involved that you, you know, start accentuating the differences rather than the similarities. And, you know, again, it's a real simple philosophy. We come in the world the same way. We go out the world the same way. And the world is better to the extent that we can figure out ways of cooperating. And I agree with you, George, 100% when you say that freedom is something that we all desire. Every Chinese desires freedom. America desires freedom. The Europeans desire freedom. The Asians, not just the Chinese, but, you know, all Asians desire freedom. And the quickest way to get everybody on the same page is to start working together, because this is a very tough world right now. I mean, you know, we have profound shortages. I mean, we're having shortages in areas like automaking. I mean, we don't have enough technical, we don't have enough semiconductors, you know, chips, these small parts that make the automobile, you know, run. They're in short supply. Everything's in short supply. And the only way we're going to get over these problems that exist right now and figure out how to use, you know, what we have in terms of oil, gas, and other, you know, materials is to work together. And I think that gold can be something that, you know, allows for discipline. Just like your grandfather said, you know, once you, you know, get rid of gold and you start replacing it with, you know, now we're replacing it not even with coins. Gold's now replaced with dollar bills and these digital currencies, etc. This is okay as far as it goes, but there has to be limits. There has to be discipline, and gold can be the disciplinarian. Gold can be the teacher that says, no, you can't print anymore. We've all agreed on it. You know, just these many dollars, because that's how much gold we have. And you can let the price of gold rise. I firmly believe that gold can go as high as $10,000-$15,000, not overnight, but over the next 10 or 15 years. It can go up, but go up for a real good reason. And the reason is that we need a higher price of gold so that, you know, we can allocate all these resources that we have in order to make a much better planet for everybody. It can be done, but it cannot be done if we're all going it alone. It just cannot happen. You just see this. You see it in labs in this country. And again, I'm repeating myself, but, you know, a laboratory which has, you know, ethnic Chinese, ethnic Iranians that are not political, that are just here to do work and to sort of create things. These are the laboratories that really produce things, that really do things. And it was the same way in the Second World War. I mean, you know, one of the people that turned out to be very, very important was an ethnic Chinese person. Basically, when, you know, McCarthy came along and the so-called Red Scare, we threw this guy out. And, you know, basically he's become the father, or was the father of a lot of Chinese science, but he wanted to stay in this country, and we did not. We did accept him, and we threw him out. I mean, we've got to stop this kind of thing. I mean, yes, it's okay to disagree, but in the end, we've all got to agree that the only way we're going to make this work, because it's just one planet now, and we have to think of it in terms of that. I mean, these shortages that we're seeing in foods, in other materials right now, in lumber, I mean, you name it, in copper. I mean, copper, as you said before, used to be kind of a worthless metal. Well, it's not anymore. I mean, we need all the copper we can find. We need it to create electric vehicles. We need it in order to, you know, go to the next generation of our technologies, which will allow, you know, basically renewable energies, which will allow the sun and the wind and things that we can count on to, you know, be basically the engine of the world. If we're going to get to that point, this world has to cooperate. And if we start cooperating, we'll suddenly find that, you know, the similarities among us are much greater than the differences. I mean, you know, everybody's talking about China wanting to overcome the U.S. They don't. It's the last thing they want. They want their say in the eastern part of the world. That's for sure. But they don't want to take us over. I mean, I don't know the last time China's had a war. I think the only wars that China's ever fought basically have been because they were attacked. They just have not been, you know, they're not necessarily an aggressive people. And, you know, I'm not, I don't mean to spend so much time on China, but they are, you know, they're the big guy right now on part of the block. And getting along is very important. And realizing that, you know, we've got to use what we have, and we've got to, you know, get politics out of the situation. I mean, when I hear that, you know, suddenly we're not going to be drilling for oil in the Arctic and there are all these restrictions on oil and natural gas, this is not good either. I mean, because we're going to need natural gas and we're going to need oil in order to get rid of oil. I mean, you're going to need oil to destroy oil, because without oil, you're not going to be able to, you know, create the infrastructure and everything else that you're going to need in order to do away with oil. And if you try and get rid of it too soon, I mean, that could be really, really dangerous. And that's the kind of thing that worries me, especially in the context of these shortages that we have. I mean, you know, it's not just that you need oil for gasoline. You need oil to make plastics. You need oil for fertilizer. And you just can't, you know, tell countries or companies to stop drilling for it right now. It's not time yet. We need to give us a little bit. We need to have a longer term perspective on things. And that actually, you know, is something that we can learn from the Chinese. I'm not saying the Chinese government. I'm saying the Chinese people. They have a long-term perspective on things. They tend to look at things from a longer-term perspective. And we used to be that way. I mean, I grew up like that, as I mentioned before. But we've got to get that back, that willingness to look, you know, into the future, into years in the future. And you know, I think gold is a way of doing that, is a road to doing that. So I think cooperation and using gold as a way of disciplining ourselves, hey, we can create a world that can last for, you know, a long, long time. And I just think that this is, you know, this is one of the most important points that we've reached in our civilization, where we're at right now, in the world civilization. And we've either got to seize the day, or I think we're going to face some very, very bad times ahead. I mean, I really do. And I think we can seize the day, and I think this is the moment to do it. And goodness, I just, you know, pray that we're up to the task. And it's something that we can master. And I think that, you know, for whatever reasons, you know, now is a time that is very unique in our history, in the history of mankind. And I think that we've got to come together. It's a line from a Beatles song, you know, unite. And it's possible. And goodness knows, I hope we do it. And I think gold is a way to do it. And I think actually coming down to finances and investing, I think everybody should invest some money in gold, whether it be gold coins, whether it be gold bars, whether it be a gold stock that you might buy on the stock market. It doesn't matter. Gold has been around for 5,000 years or more. It's been used as money for 5,000 years or more. And I think it'll be used as money 5,000 years from now. You know, everybody should, I think, have some gold, whether it be a gold coin or if gold is too rich for you and you know, you can't afford, you can buy silver too. It also is very valuable as a monetary currency. And, you know, silver coins you can buy. And, you know, there's just lots of ways of, you know, owning gold and silver, and I think that we've got to be willing to do that. And I think it's very, very important. And, you know, it's just unfortunate that our financial industry has kind of lost its way. I mean, it wants to promote stocks, and, you know, I'm all for stocks, but I'm also for, you know, stocks for the sake of stocks for the sake of, you know, promoting growth in the country, not just any old stock. And time is short, and but we still have enough of it to really make this not only a great country again, but a country that, you know, can be a beacon for the rest of the world. And, you know, one way we can be a beacon is we can show the Chinese that democracy works, and you know, be a leader. And, you know, I think, you know, accepting Chinese in this country is a very good thing that we have done, and it's already paid major dividends for us in terms of our sciences, etc. If you just pick up a science magazine or a, you know, Nature or Science or, you know, any of the leading publications that come out of America or Britain, you'll find a lot of Chinese nationals, Chinese Americans, Chinese, British Chinese people that have, you know, come from China and chosen to live here, you know, as part of our, you know, team, our research team. And if we can make this worldwide, holy cow, well, you know, there's no limit to what we might be able to do. And, you know, that's what we've got to do. That's really what we have to do, that and accept discipline again and accept gold. And, that, you know, basically that's it. It's easy to say, but it's very, very hard to do.
Well, I think that's one reason why China is a very successful business enterprise and thriving economy, is because they are very disciplined. There's
exactly.
A large
and they
ethnic
also
community
look,
here.
Look to the future. They're willing to look 5 and 10 and 20 years ahead. I mean, you know, when I wrote my first book on China, which was, I think, in about 10 years ago, everybody was talking about these ghost cities. I don't know whether you remember or not, but all these ghost cities that China was putting up. And one point I made there is, yes, right now these cities, you know, don't have many people in there. But if you want to get people into cities, you've got to build the city for them to go to. And all these ghost cities right now, you know, that existed like 10 years ago, that people said China was crazy to be building, now they're all populated because China looks ahead. And they're not hiding that. They're not trying to keep, you know, the most important secrets that they might have. You know, they're out front with them. And like I said, Chinese nationals that come to this country have done fantastic jobs for us, not for China, but for us. They've become Americans, and they're doing great jobs as America. And, you know, people forget that we are a country of immigrants, whether they're Chinese immigrants, whether they're European immigrants. That's what has made this country great. And I think it's this willingness, that it has always been this willingness. You know, we fought a war with Europe and ended in 1945, 46, and 5 years later, you know, and with Japan, and 5 years later, we were all working together. And look, what, you know, we came together. We can't afford to fight a war again. We really can't, but we can, and it's necessary to come together. We've done this before. We did it with the Japanese. My goodness, they weren't a democracy, and, you know, now they are to a large extent. And I think the same thing will happen with China, but, hope, you know, we've got to pray it doesn't take a war to do it, because I don't think anyone is going to survive or do well in a war. But you know, it can happen, and I think it will happen. You know, I think freedom is a natural state for humans, and I think China craves it. They want to be free. They want to be able to follow America's path, but America is not giving them much of a chance right now. You know, and, you know, maybe I'm, you know, dreamer, But I believe that this world can come together and you know, come together in, you know, as a free world. But we need the discipline. We need the longer time frame. And, you know, I think gold has a very, very important role to play. And, you know, again, I recommend that, you know, your people, you know, buy gold. You know, go to the internet, look it up. You can buy gold coins. There are lots of credible sellers of gold coins out there. If you're in the stock market, you can buy gold by owning what they call ETFs. There are so many ways to buy gold. I mean, I go over them in this book that I, you know, recently published, China's Rise in the New Age of Gold. There are lots of ways of buying it. There are lots of ways of buying silver. And I just think it's, you know, for your own well-being. I'm not speaking now as a, you know, person cooperating with the rest of the world. I'm speaking as a person advising you, you know, what's necessary, what you have to do for the well-being of your family and your future and your progeny and your grandchildren. Yeah, you know, gold is going to be extremely valuable as we, you know, 10 years from now, it could be worth 10 times what it is today. You know, on all sorts of levels, gold has a major role to play. On a personal level, on a family level, it has a major role to play. In the world as a whole, it has a major role to play. And it can help bring us all together. I mean, in a strange way, because it can make this world more prosperous, and it can, you know, it can help basically create what, you know, what we've created. We've been incredibly creative people, this country. As I mentioned, you know, everything from the internet to you know, semiconductors to computers, all created here. But we've lost control of this now. We can come back to it. We can still be very, very creative. And, you know, when we combine forces with other people in a human way, one-on-one, forgetting about the politics for a moment, wow, we could really do incredibly wonderful things in this country, and I'm all for that. I really am.
Indeed, indeed. Well, we're getting close to the end, so where do we find your collection of books? You have a website, and
I do. See, I'm more interested in getting my message across than telling people, you know, how to find me. I'm at an age right now, George, where all I want to do is really try and, you know, provide some help. But, you know, if you want to find me, it's pretty easy. It's StephenLieb.com. That's my website. You know, you'll find a list of all my past books and things like that. And, you know, I write a publication and, you know, ways you can get that publication and ways you can leave messages and communicate. You know, it's StephenLieb.com. It's not hard to find. And, you know, I'm not encouraging you to necessarily even buy my books. I mean, go to the library if you want and check them out, whatever. Or, you know, some of them are online now because, you know, they've been around for about, you know, 20 years or more. I just hope that, you know, I hope I can, you know, help in a very, very small way. I mean, if everybody helps in a very, very small way, we'll have a very, very great world. And, you know, that's sort of my philosophy. I want to be one of those.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much, Stephen, for helping us in a big way all through your life. And for this short hour we had you here at Power Hour, we'll be glad to have you back again. And may health follow you for all the blessings you've brought to others. God bless you. Great I am, He is Yahweh, the Lord of all, He is Yahweh. Those of Sharon, He is Yahweh, the righteous Son, He is Yahweh, the three in one, He is Yahweh.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.